A Shishkin Productions podcast.
I tried ChatGPT, but it wasn't giving me any results. I ended up pulling like four words from it that I liked. It wasn't even a full sentence.
Between ChatGPT and Alexa, you have two forms of artificial intelligence.
Hey, what's up, Sizzlers? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel Podcast. Man, it's good to be back in the Matt H. King Memorial Arena.
It really is.
I think we're
not taping this today. We're not recording with a camera. The energy, it's kind of different.
Ping-ponging now. Because what happens is when the camera's on, the energy doesn't ping-pong. It like stagnates on one side of the table. Today, ping-pong.
Yep.
It goes ping-pong. Ping. Bong. What I really love about the Matt H. King Memorial Arena is that podcast arena, I should say, is that it's only when the lights are at this condition and when there's no cameras in here,
nice and dim.
That is the Matt H. King Memorial Podcast Arena. Yeah. As soon as the lights come on and there's a camera, it's not it anymore.
No, it becomes something different and not as good.
Matt H. King does not claim that arena.
Then he gets to see what it looks like and he's like, not for
he's
me.
Like, please keep my name off of anything you guys shoot.
Keep my name out your motherfucking mouth.
Keep my name out your mouth. What's up, Chris?
Nothing. Just chilling. Kind of been up to the same stuff I've been doing for a minute.
Same old, huh?
Yeah, revisiting a couple old projects that just came back for whatever reason. Yep.
Interesting. Well, we'll get to all that in a little bit.
But, you know, next week's going to be a big week. I might be starting more hockey stuff.
You have a lot of things up in the air.
Yeah, I might be coming back to a project that I was on last week. It was a rip reel. I don't know if we ever talked about it. Maybe we did.
I don't think we did. Technically, we weren't allowed to. Our guest is sitting here and she's like, oh my God, please don't have talked about it.
I mean, but we can say we did a rip reel.
We were vague.
Yeah.
We were vague. We explained what a rip reel was.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
I think is useful to the listeners. We have a special guest today and she is just mad at us right now.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
You can see the way she's like,
I mean, she has to deal with us
every,
you know, 5 days a week.
A day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Of course. Someone needs to put us in our place.
That's true. Chris, before we really get into it, what's up with the social plugs?
Oh, well, we are at Sizzlereel Gang on Twitter and Instagram.
That's right.
We're sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. You know, hit us up on TikTok, Shishkin Productions. I think we might be on Instagram there as well.
We are.
And most importantly, we have confirmed that the Sizzlereel Cold Line is live again.
It's still there, baby.
Thank goodness. That was a scary moment in our lives.
What is the cold line, by the way?
I always forget it. What is it?
It's 332-333-4361. Call in. We do have a couple messages to play. I'm going to just play them off my phone because I just don't feel like plugging anything up. So here's one that this is the least important one.
Hey, what's up? It's me. I'm just calling to make sure this still works.
It still works.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. I got to say, you sound a lot younger in person.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And then here's the real caller that everyone wants to hear from.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy Joe Nana, longtime listener, first time caller. I'm just calling in to make sure that the cold line is still active. You can't cancel the uncancelable, baby. Viva la Sizzlereel!
Okay, so I didn't understand what the last part was. Do you know what he's talking about?
I think he said Viva Mas Sizzlereel.
Oh, Viva Mas Sizzlereel.
Yeah, something
that
like
actually
that.
That makes some sense because the thing, so Google Voice, like, translates it, like it tries to transcribe it, and it always messes with how I hear it because I'm reading, right?
Yeah.
So it's it translated it as Devon monsters are real, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck that means, but
real monsters.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for calling in. Thank you for checking on the Sizzlereel cold line. I did notice that when I called, we actually say you've reached the Sizzlereel hotline. So it's funny. It's completely misbranded. It's completely misbranded, which I think adds to our charm.
Wow.
Chris, what are you been up to this week?
hockey stuff mostly, and then, you know, something. I actually did two different projects for what I think they're both nonprofits, or at least they're both, you know, charitable causes.
That's true.
Yeah.
They call them Charity Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've been doing my community service.
That's good for you, man.
Yeah. By editing.
I love that. I've also been serving the community with the Tree Fort Doc.
Oh, yeah. That's
a lot
true.
We're doing a lot of community building and not a lot of bank account building. The bank account is being taketh away.
Yeah, it's true. We can't really go into why, but.
That's right. Yeah, we got it. We'll get into it at some point. There will be one point when we actually do discuss it. Chris.
Yeah.
Part of that thing that's happening, this looming business venture,
yes,
has involved us having to write bios for ourselves so people can kind of get to know us.
Absolutely.
And, you're in the process of writing yours, I think, right?
Well, I didn't write mine at all. So you and Amy have both sent your bios.
Yeah.
Off. I have been busy with client work all week.
Actual work.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to do it. So
to be fair, I wrote you a pretty good bio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you graciously fed some stuff into ChatGPT.
That's right.
And then you took what it spit out and you revised it some. And now it's on me to revise it a final time.
Right.
And
I did most of the heavy lifting. I think this thing's pretty good. Can you read it? Just read it, because I think it's going to be good. I think the Sizzlers deserve to hear this nice V1 that we got of your bio.
Sure.
This is good stuff. And It's
actually kind of long.
It's kind of long, but it reads even better than it looks on paper, if that makes sense.
All right. Media production is a combination of nearly every art form there is into one single product. And that's why I love it.
Well, the clunkiest opening line ever.
With over a decade of experience in the industry, I've been lucky enough to work in a lot of different stages of the production process before settling into post-production. When I began my career, I was focused on writing, but quickly learned that I needed to expand my arsenal. Mm-hmm. I transitioned into the fast-paced world of news photography, where I would own both production and post-production. Tight deadlines and quick turnarounds taught me how to work efficiently and be a one-man band of sorts.
Yeah.
You love of sorts.
I love of sorts. I always say of sorts.
In 2019, I joined up with a boutique post-production company in Brooklyn, where I immersed myself in the edit suite. Get out of here.
Perfect.
And quickly rose through the ranks to become the head of post. I know my way around all aspects of post-production, including editing, color correction, and audio mixing. Admittedly, I know some better than others, and that's where my most important skill comes in. Knowing how to build a successful post-production strategy.
You're nailing this fucking
read. That's the line. That's the line, bro.
Awesome.
My goal is to lead the post team in bringing the client's creative vision to life and to deliver high-quality work on time and on budget. Yes. Post-production is so multifaceted.
Bring it home, Chris.
And there's nothing I love more than combining all those facets into one beautiful project.
Combine those facets, Chris. You're going to have to do a pretty decent amount of rewriting, but...
Yeah.
I think the bones are there.
I think there's one good
little nugget right there about building the post-production strategy.
I love that one.
It's a good nugget.
I think it's just the top half that I'm going to work on a little bit, because some of that shit I would just never say about myself.
Yeah, it's true.
But I mean, it makes me sound great.
Thank you.
If someone else was writing a bio for me, but if I was writing it, I wouldn't.
Big shout out to ChatGPT, though.
I'm so humble.
For providing the structure, because really what we did was hey, give me a 100-word, which I didn't do the word count, but it seems like it doesn't care about the word counts. 100, they said, give it 100-word, make me a 100-word bio of a person named Chris, who is a video editor who grew in his role to a head of post-production, whatever. You have to give it you have to kind of guide
it. An outline.
But it'll actually just write it, it said there was lines in there about how you're like a thought leader in the industry and you
and I give
you
speeches.
Give speeches at events and shit like that. So
I do not,
not yet.
I give speeches in this room.
We actually are booking you for events.
Oh God.
Later this year.
Kill me.
We booked you for a bar mitzvah.
I only do b'nai mitzvahs.
Look, excuse me.
Yeah, b'nai mitzvah.
What is that?
It's I think it's when there's two.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
It's like for twins?
Twins. I guess so. I don't really know. I've been to one.
You're going to do it once. I guess it's whenever your birthdays are on the same day, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, good.
You're 8%.
Thank you. You would know better.
Thank
you. 9% actually. Okay. We've had a guest patiently waiting here this whole time, so I think we should introduce her. It's Amy. What's up, Amy?
What's up?
She's back. Guys. She made it. She made it on
my
the show.
My first sizzle of 2023.
Welcome. Right. Welcome.
You did it.
Thank
good
you
job.
So much. We made it to a new year.
We did make it to a new year. I brought you in here because I wanted to know about your bio writing process.
Oh, well, it was not a fun exercise for me.
Damn.
It's just, it's hard to, I don't know, like, it was a difficult process. I stumbled through a few sentences and came up with something that I hated. And luckily, I had Alexi here.
Yeah, ChatGPT.
I tried ChatGPT, but it wasn't giving me any results. I ended up pulling like 4 words from it that I liked. It wasn't even a full sentence.
Between ChatGPT and Alexa, you have 2 forms of artificial intelligence.
But yeah, I'm happy with it now. It was like you took my initial basic ass idea and kind of like added some pizzazz, and I'm happy with it. It's not as long as Chris's. I'll just tell you that Chris's is crazy.
Because I'm gonna take out an entire paragraph.
I didn't use a bot to like come up with the concept. Chris. It was just out of my like
a bot mitzvah.
Fucking one brain cell.
now we planted the seed and now we wait for this to come back at the end of the show somehow. I love it. Speaking of artificial intelligence, you know, you used it to make your bio. I am apparently it as well.
I didn't use it.
But so is Megan.
Yes.
That's Megan. True. Is it Megan or is it Megan?
I say Megan. I think it sounds better.
Okay.
I like Megan. Megan is... Ugh.
Megan.
I hope it's Megan.
I'm pretty sure it is, but you know, I mean, you say what? Megan?
Yeah.
Or
like,
you say
why is it
Megan?
Megan.
You know, there's like a lot of ways Megan. To say it.
I think I say, but why would it I say be Megan.
Megan.
Why would it
you
be?
You say Megan?
Megan?
You say Megan? Megan?
It's
I say
more of like
Megan.
Megan. Megan. Megan.
I guess it depends on how it's spelled. For this one, it's M-E-G, so it's I would say Megan.
Megan.
I would say
Megan. But if it's like M-E-G-H.
Or M-E-A-G, I've seen that before, I would say Megan.
If it's M-E-A, I would say Megan.
Megan.
If it's M-E-G, I would say Megan. And if it's M-E-G-H-A-N, it's Megan.
But Megan is like M-E-E.
No, this one's Megan. I like it sounds better. It's cooler, Megan. You know. It's unforgettable name.
Alexi just likes saying me.
Me, 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 me.
Me, 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 me.
Because if you think about it, like Meg is short for Megan.
Meek.
Like
Oh, Meg? You've been saying Meg? I'm calling her Meek. Meg.
You never say Meek. When have you ever heard somebody named Megan nicknamed Meeg?
I think we should start. Meeg is a tight name, dude.
Okay.
All right. So I wrote Megan's story because I wanted to let you guys know. Okay. I heard this somewhere.
Yeah.
That
better podcast.
A way better podcast. But I'm not going to name drop it because it's a competitor. That the way that this executive producer who made this Megan thing, he read the script and then he was like, okay, I need to see what this character looks like before we make it. And what they decided to do was hire an actress who could dance and do martial arts. And then they used like an animatronic type thing to be the face. And like, I guess there's CGI involved and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
But the voice is another totally different thing. So there's like 3 of these parts that come in to make one character.
Wow.
How fucking insane is that?
Megan is so...
Megan, it's, 3.
Megan is made of so many different parts, you know? It's...
Three parts.
Megan. Oh, M3.
That's what the 3 stands for.
Oh, wow. Yeah, dude. That's fucking wild.
Come at me, bro.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of tight. I mean, it's 3 different, like... disciplines coming into play to make one character.
It's wild to me, like, just the idea of like, I'm not even going to make this unless I can combine all these different elements. I totally understand it, and it obviously makes for a good final product, but just the idea of being like, this is gonna cost so much money.
I don't think the person was like, I am not gonna make it unless I can combine these 3 things.
Yeah,
I think the I'm pretty sure this is the executive producer, and he was like, I need to see a proof of what this character is going to look like before I sink a bunch of money into it.
Yeah.
And I need to know like what the process is. And like, also if I see this character, I'll know if this is going to be a hit or not. Is their mindset, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, then I'm assuming the director and the rest of the team were like, okay, this is what we're thinking for the character. And then they were like, all right, this works. Let's do it. Let's make the movie.
Yeah.
But you're right. There is so much fucking money. It's incomprehensible.
It's wild.
Like, yeah. We just bid on something today where we were like $20,000 for post. And we were like, well, we'll see if we get it. And like $20,000 and for like a movie like that is like, you know,
that
you
is
know
just,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
in real numbers, $20,000 isn't shit.
It's an accounting error, you know, like it's nothing.
And then in like real life, $20,000 is like actually a lot. So,
I mean, you know, it's different because they have such a massive platform, you know, like when we're doing a video for some random bank's YouTube, it's going to be different than a movie that's going to premiere worldwide and has so much potential to make more money.
I mean, that's Megan shit.
Yeah, it's still just like wild.
What
to
are
me.
The box office numbers?
Ooh. I bet you that thing's crushing.
I would bet so.
Grossing over $102 million worldwide against a budget of $12 million. And it's currently the highest grossing film of 2023. I mean, 2023 did just start. But
I'm actually surprised by it. It was such a low budget.
The thing is, it wasn't supposed to be like a lot of people, I think, were looking at it and going, oh, this is just going to be some random throwaway dumb bullshit. And it's actually like a good movie.
Yeah, that's what it
seems
like. So
I think people are like, yo, what the fuck? It's like, it's almost like, what is the thing that A24 made? Was it like Pearl?
I saw had like there a was movie. Like X and Pearl.
What was the prequel to Pearl?
I think X came out first and then Pearl is the prequel to X, but I haven't watched Pearl yet.
I think I saw X and I was like, X. Whoa, this is actually like good. I didn't expect
it
to be good. And it was like good. Holy
shit, I really liked
it. But you know, that's what Megan's all about too.
Okay, so hold on. Look, I didn't realize
consider
that
me holding on.
Megan, whatever. I didn't like realize that it was stylized with a 3. Like I guess I just haven't really paid attention.
That's
so
the whole thing.
Maybe that is now I'm kind
now
of understanding why
Thriegen.
Thriegen. No, I can kind of understand why you might call it Megan because 3E.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe it is Megan. But
I'm pretty sure it's
annoying.
Megan. I think in the trailer they even say Megan. But
okay,
yeah, but
it's definitely Megan.
Good.
Why not call it Megan? It's
cooler. Because that is, it sounds, it. That's kind of like the sound of Megan.
Can you make
Megan. It's like
Megan.
Fingernails
it
on a
cool.
chalkboard.
Oh, I think it sounds
no,
it's like
I don't,
a funny little
it's,
thing.
It's not pleasant
it
to my ears.
Megan. It reminds me of like Togepi. Remember the Pokemon
Togepi? Oh, I remember
Togepi,
the little in the egg.
Yeah, it would be like
it's classic.
Okay, make us a promise right now on this podcast.
Oh.
We're going to do a blood oath between the three of
us.
Oh,
God.
Hold on. Let me get my fucking little knife. Oh, God. I'm bleeding out.
I'm anemic. Sorry, guys.
Oh, shit. Chris, why'd you get anemia all over the table? What I was going to say was this. Here's our blood oath, okay?
Okay.
Our pact. Whichever one of us has a kid first, we got to name it Megan.
All right.
It's going to be a hard pass for me.
Why?
You're the only. I think you're the most likely.
Come on.
I'm not getting stuck
on,
with naming
Amy.
My kid.
Sizzle Reel episode
Megan.
121 lives on forever through this Megan. If your name's Megan, call in 332-333-4361
there
and
you
leave
go.
A message about why you love your name, Megan, and
Megan.
How you've had such a good time having that name.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the name Megan, call in and tell us why.
Yeah, just just call.
Just call someone, please. We're spending $10 a month on this line. all right. Chris, you were in charge of putting together the rundown today, and you put a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I love all of it. I think it's really good. But I also think
I
we have an incredible
it.
Second half coming up.
Yeah.
It's like mind-blowingly good.
It's
so why
good.
Don't you just kind of pick one of these?
And
then maybe we'll talk about the other two really quick. But
why don't I just talk about all three very quickly?
Okay, do like a quick rundown.
Yeah, so
this is called The News with Chris.
All right. Vox Media lays off 7% of its workforce, which is about 130 employees. You know, it's a big surprise. More layoffs. Like we talk about it almost every single time. HBO Max announced its first price hike. It's going up by 7%. Which is $1. So it's going from $14.99 to $15.99. you know, we all saw it coming because that's how the world works. And finally, Alec Baldwin is going to be charged with involuntary manslaughter for the Russ shooting.
The news with Chris.
I like this segment. This should be.
I mean, it. I feel like the realistic fish from SpongeBob.
You kind of look like one.
Thanks. The news came in late.
Did I start the music late?
The sounder came in right as I finished.
That was the news with Chris.
Yeah.
Wow, thrilling stuff. Stick around for the weather. All right. Well, Chris, look, which one of those stories is your favorite so we can talk about it?
Put them in a weird kind of. I don't really like any of them.
Now you're going to be I like the layoffs.
They're all bad news
with Chris.
I guess the one I like the most is that HBO Max is only going up by $1.
7%.
That is good.
7%.
7%.
That's how Jewish you are.
All right. Okay. All right. There's a lot of a deeper joke there that we already need to explain, but don't cancel Chris. That's not what he meant by that.
No,
it's nothing to do with 20, money and prices.
No, it's 23andMe.
Yeah, I did a 23andMe. It said I was 6.9% Jewish, and every year I raise it 1%.
Yes.
Every year I live in New York, I get to lift it 1%. So ever since I found out. So now I'm 9%. So
okay.
It feels good.
Yeah.
I don't feel any different, to be honest. Okay. Any last words before we hit the break and come back with our really cool segment? Super cool, really cool segment.
I think we just go for it.
Okay.
Shout out Megan.
This is boring.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
This podcast sucks.
This podcast is not very good. But it's consistent.
Welcome back. God damn
it. You want to bring us in?
Sure.
Okay.
Welcome. Hey guys, well.
You want to bring us in?
Nah, Chris can do
it.
Okay,
go for it. We're already in. I'm not cutting any of this out.
Great.
Welcome back, Sizzlers.
All right. We have a pretty fun segment for you.
Super fun.
In this second half. It's a draft. But, you know, it's not a beer.
So, it's not a draft beer. No.
What are we drafting?
What are we? It's not a cold little breeze of air that's flown in under the door.
No.
Okay. It's not a...
It's not our first attempt at writing something.
That's right. It's not a piece of wood that's flown up on the surface of the beach from the ocean.
Drift?
Is that drift?
Driftwood.
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 Megan.
Didn't
whatever.
We go to Driftwood?
It's Driftwood. Like that is
the camp or whatever.
That's like a nature camp. It's a nature camp. Yeah. It's not Chris going to the military.
Oh my God! Thank goodness.
No, not at all.
Would not last.
It's not an animal that's used for pulling heavy loads, like a draft oxen.
He's on Merriam-Webster.
It is. What is it, Amy? You tell him. Misdirection. See that? I looked right at Chris. What is it, Amy?
It's a fictional Chris, character
Chris,
giraffe.
Chris, you tell him.
I was like, I barely understood the concept.
So the way this works is we're all picking our top five. Starting five, whatever. Fictional photographer, videographer, newscaster,
editor,
a media
sound
film
person.
Adjacent.
Yes. Right.
Anyone who is adjacent with the industry that we work in and is fictional.
Right. It's in their universe, this character has to be involved in the media industry. So you can't say like Geraldo Rivera.
Yes, because he's a real person, I've heard.
Right. Can't say Conan.
Learned that last week.
Nobody
can't
would
say Conan O'Brien. Is that your what I learned?
No,
sorry, didn't mean step on that. You can't pick Conan O'Brien, you know, stuff like that. I couldn't pick Chris.
Yeah, you can't pick Steven Spielberg.
Like, yes, there was a cartoon of Chris at one point on Sizzle Reel's Instagram,
but it's based off of a real person.
Oh, I should have picked a cartoon version of Chris from Sizzle Reel. Well, I still could.
I don't think that counts though.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll have to play by ear. Okay, here's how I think we should do this, Chris. I think you should go first.
Okay.
And Amy, you should go second. I'll go last. But do we want to do snake style or no?
I don't think so.
I think just we just go straight up.
Yeah, it's more
Chris
confusing.
Chris earned it going first because he's been working hard.
You
this
can.
Week.
I don't mind going last.
No, I want to go last.
Okay, because I came in last on this one. Actually, you did pick last.
I picked last. I waited so long.
I don't know what snake style means, but
snake style would mean it kind of goes like this: Chris, you, me, you, Chris, you. Yeah. So
that seems complicated. That sounds kind of like
fair. It's the most fair, but sure. But I like what you're saying, Chris. We'll just go normal.
My first pick is not even gonna be, you know, like an absolute surefire thing. It's it's the first one I thought of.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the most famous examples. So I'm taking Peter Parker first overall.
Hey. You know what? That's what I had written down as my number one as well.
I'm sorry.
I was thinking about it and I was like, this Classic. Is a spider that crawls around and takes photographs.
It's pretty incredible.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. And I mean, he can just sling his camera on the web and, you know, have it on a timer. He can get shots that no one else can.
Drones can now.
Well,
but drones probably took a lot of this guy's like work. He was like, damn it. I used to fly around up there and they were like, sorry, Peter, we're good. DJI Phantom. Some six or whatever they're on.
Do you think the drone propellers could
get caught in the web?
Yeah, or would they cut the web off? Would they
just kill, depends
what
on
if a drone killed Spider-Man?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow, what
Barack
a twist.
Obama would have hell to pay.
Oh my god.
Is that the kind of drone you meant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Peter Parker, excellent.
That's a great choice.
Excellent choice. Where would you put him in your starting five if this is basketball? Would you want him at the he's a tough one. He'd be an incredible basketball player.
I mean,
I would probably I'd put him at the one, but also
I probably have him as my point guard.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, right?
But I mean, the rest of my team is not really built based on
on basketball.
Yeah. So
well, we're just gonna kind of.
I don't know who my center is gonna be, but
so keep track. Are you keeping track or should
I'm gonna
track?
Write
gonna
them down.
Track, right? Peter Parker, good pick, Amy. You have any thoughts on Peter Parker as a draft pick? What do you think?
You know.
What was he even taking pictures of? Is what I'm
that's mostly Spider-Man, mostly himself.
It's a great pick. Honestly,
is that true?
It didn't even occur to me.
Really?
To Peter Parker
picked a pack of pickled Peter Parker.
Oh my god!
Wait, if he was really taking pictures of Spider-Man, that man gamed the system so well.
He was like,
check this out. I'm gonna collect a paycheck, barely go to work. I can take a bunch of selfies. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that's
was
crazy.
Was he the
it?
Originator of the selfie?
Probably.
Oh, wow.
He might be
him or that one guy in 1917.
Yeah.
Set up. He stood there for like 20 minutes. Was that his job for real, Chris? Taking pictures of Spider-Man?
More or less, that's because he was a freelance photographer, and the way he sold his photos to J. Jonah Jameson, Peter Parker and J. Jonah Jameson. J. Jonah Jameson had like this big vendetta against Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So he wanted photos of him and, you know, the Daily Bugle or whatever it was
like,
called.
Somebody get that spider.
Peter's like, I got you, bro.
I'll get that
That's
spider.
That's great. And he got his rent paid. So
it's honestly a great strategy. Heady play for sure. I should tell some of our photographer friends about that strat. Be like, hey man, you should pretend to be a Spider-Man. There you go.
That's basically what Side Talk does.
Great first pick. Really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Thanks. Good way to open up the draft strong.
Thanks.
Yeah. I already know who you're gonna pick second to, but whatever, we'll leave it at that.
How do you know?
He might.
I definitely know because I have him written second as well. I'll say whatever. I don't want to give it away. But why don't you go? I'm just gonna go all out with my picks. They're gonna be crazy.
Okay.
So these are really in no particular order other than how I thought of them, like in the order that I thought of them. But my first pick is Roz Doyle. Frasier. She was the producer on Frasier.
Okay. All right. So I looked at Frasier and I was like, I am not going to pick anything from Frasier because I've never seen a single episode.
Well,
so I can't.
Was
Frasier... Was that the one? He was a radio host or was he a psychologist?
He was a radio psychologist. Yeah. So he had a radio show and she was the radio producer.
The AM radio.
And, you know, growing up, my mom loved that show. So I watched a lot of Frasier growing up. And it's like such a weird, like nerdy show. But I love it. And I always thought it was cool that Roz was the producer because honestly, you don't see many women in these roles.
Right.
In, you know, film and TV. So Yeah.
Roz paved the way.
She paved the way.
Roz walked so Amy could run.
Exactly. So dope. I could be on the sizzle reel.
So would you say, again, I haven't seen the show, but there's two main guys. There's Frasier and there's
Niles.
Niles.
His brother.
And then there's...
I've met Niles in
and
real
then
life.
There's the only Roz. I've met. There's Roz.
Yes.
So if you're Roz, which one of us is Frasier and which one of us is Niles?
That's interesting. What I want to know.
I literally don't know the difference between either one of them. I don't know.
It's like neither one of you really fit into those characters, but... I would say you're probably Frasier, Alexi.
Thank you.
And you're probably Niles. I love Niles. Okay.
Yeah,
but
I love Niles.
I think the reason why I'm saying that you're Niles to Alexi's Frasier is like, Niles is like not with the bullshits, you know? Like, he's kind of like the voice of reason in a way. Mm-hmm. So,
Frasier's the voice of disreason.
I mean,
no reason.
They both are. They're both like fucking nerdy,
yeah,
like
a little neurotic.
Neurotic and like kind of like snooty in a way. So that's why I don't think they exactly fit, but I'm going Frasier.
Scrambled
Alexi.
Eggs.
Oh, yeah, Niles. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Great theme song.
Baby, I hear the blues calling. I know that one from Doughboys, actually. All right, so that's a great first pick. You started with Roz.
Roz Doyle.
Okay, and where's Roz in your starting five? You got a position for her?
I didn't really think that far, so I don't really
make
know.
It up on the fly. Where are you putting her? For now. You can shift her if you need to later.
I don't know. Maybe...
Shooting guard? Shooting, it sounds like it was a shooting guard.
Sure, let's
Roz,
call her
a shooting guard. Let's fucking go. That's what I'm talking about. All right, my pick. You already know, Chris, where I'm going to go with this.
Because
I think
it.
I'm about to steal your pick.
You're going
to
steal my pick.
And I'm really confident in the rest
took
of my
this
team
because
the
first.
Well,
instead.
If you took them first, I would have taken your first one second. Superman.
Oh,
Clark Kent.
No, I did not take Clark Kent.
Wow.
My thought was. I already took a superhero
so
or
you didn't
a comic book adjacent.
Two.
Yeah, so I didn't want to do two.
Wow.
But Clark Kent is a classic.
Interesting.
I also considered Lois Lane.
So I took Clark Kent, a.k.a. Kal-El, as he's known on his home planet.
Sure.
Or as he's known on our planet, Superman. I took Clark Kent because I think he's technically a journalist, which I know is like it's adjacent to what we do. He probably doesn't, do any like actual filmmaking or ever hold a camera, but he is a journalist and I felt like I needed a superhero on my team. He's the Man of Steel. He can fly around. And so I'm kind of struggling with where to put him on the team because he can fly. So it's like, don't want to waste the center spot on someone who can fly around. So I'll probably put him in power forward. I think that's a good spot for him.
Okay.
And if he dunks from like, if he flies and that's a three pointer. Like if
sure,
he flies from midcourt and dunks.
No, I like it.
So, a lot of high percentage shots from Clark Kent, Superman, no brainer, number one pick for me.
All right. Okay. I like it.
All right, Chris, moving on.
All right. My second pick is International Man of Mystery, Austin Powers.
Powers.
Oh.
Wow. I looked at it and I didn't write him down because I was like, I've never seen Austin Powers or maybe
really?
I've seen
what?
Like one of the movies or something.
I loved Austin Powers growing up. And
same. So ridiculous.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years, but I'm sure I would watch it and still enjoy it. But, that's how at least one of the films starts out, I think, is, him taking photographs. He's in a photo shoot with some like British models or whatever, and he does the "You're an animal, baby" whatever.
That's right.
That's like a classic shout out. And
he was. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I did research on this. Normally, I'm like, I'm just gonna come up off the top of my head, but I had to do some research, and he came up on this list I looked at.
Yeah,
and they were like, and it was there. There was like a lot of images of him holding a camera.
I didn't realize
he was a photographer.
He's a photographer in his spare time. And I guess I'm going to put him at small forward. I don't really know.
That's a good place for him, because he is kind of gangly, isn't he? Or no?
I don't know.
Not really. That's how I picture him in my head. But I guess Mike Myers is kind of short.
Yeah, he's not that big.
Maybe you should.
He's 5'8". He's shorter than me. But look, everyone's too short to play in the NBA. Let's be real.
Well, just you wait. I might have something up my sleeve.
Okay. But he's very versatile, so I feel like he's the International Man of Mystery. He can do
That's
damn
true.
Near anything.
He can do damn near anything. I like that.
That's true.
Chris, great pick.
Except for when he loses his mojo.
Great pick. It's your team so far is looking good. You got Spider-Man. You got Austin Powers. This is a solid lineup.
Thank you.
All right. My pick up next, I chose Bradley Jackson from The Morning Show.
I don't know
who that is. No idea what that is. And it's a show on Apple TV, right?
It is. I think it's on Apple TV. Yeah, it must be on Apple TV. She's a journalist turned like national morning show news anchor.
Reese Witherspoon.
Played by Reese Witherspoon.
Oh.
And she's a little firecracker.
A really great contemporary pick, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I feel like all of my picks are like old.
Yeah, I don't have a single contemporary
pick. So having like a show that's like still on is or
hopefully it's coming back.
I think it should. I mean, people really liked it.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Star-studded cast. Yeah.
A lot of the characters on the show are lovable and mostly hateable for one reason or another. But I've just always loved her character. She's like really strong and speaks her mind and is very forward thinking. And yeah, I would put her as a small forward.
See, now I regret not thinking of more modern day shows, because now that like I'm thinking about them, like, damn, that leads to that. That leads to that. Like, there's a lot of modern day shows that actually have so many elements of media throughout them that it like probably would have been a good idea to think about those things.
I mean, I think my like most contemporary one is from 2004. I don't have anything very new.
I mean, my first one was old. What? Frasier's from the 90s, right?
It's true. So. Most of mine are from like the 80s, 90s.
Oh, Chris, yours, you know what? You're not going to get that one from 2004. I can tell you.
God damn.
You know why? Because I'm about to get it. With my second round pick, I select to play in my center spot, big man, Steve Zissou.
Damn it.
That's right.
You did
Steve
take it.
Steve Zissou.
That was literally Steve my next Zissou. Pick, too.
Aww.
I had a feeling I was going to pick him first, and I was like, I think Chris will go for something else. I'm going to hold out. So I got Steve Zissou.
That's a legend. That's a classic.
Amy, I'm sure you know Steve Zissou, The Life Aquatic.
Of course.
I think his bio said he was an oceanographer.
I like his style.
Like, ocean-based videographer.
Yeah.
He's like that. Like a wannabe Jacques Cousteau.
Yeah. And you know what? He wants to be in my starting 11, and he is starting five. I'm in soccer mode. I have his bio pulled up somewhere here. Let's see. Yeah, an eccentric oceanographer who sets out to exact revenge on the jaguar shark. I feel like he's also making. Is he not like making a movie in it as well? Yeah, he's working on his latest documentary at sea. I haven't seen that movie in a very long time. I think I've seen it twice. But I do remember watching it, and this was like kind of an early movie for me where I was like, whoa, like you can like make just a movie you want to make. Like it's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't like a box office smash. It wasn't like anything special, but it was dope.
I watched it for the first time maybe 3 years ago, and I was disappointed by it. I thought I would like it more, especially Wes Anderson's so weird for me, because like half of his movies I absolutely love, and the other half I'm like, this is just kind of boring, and that was on the boring side, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I was still gonna draft him.
I haven't watched a Wes Anderson movie in many years, but I remember like that time of my life where like that was the vibe.
I'm not really the biggest fan of Wes Anderson movies, but this one really was like, I think this was the first movie I saw where I was like, oh, it can be like, you can do a movie that's like almost understated and like weird, and it's you,
true.
It's art, you know what I mean? Like, this is like the weird, it walks the line, like,
yeah,
because to me, like, the only independent movies I'd seen before then were like Clerks, and I was like, oh, this is cool, this is like this is YouTube before YouTube, pretty
right.
much. This is like friends filming shit on a camera, and like this, I was like, oh shit, you can make art with a movie.
The Wes Anderson ones are interesting because they're like indie meets high budget production kind of.
I will say this one that says they spent $50 million and they only made back at the box office $35 million.
Damn.
But I'm sure it's gotten there because that one also, I think
it's a cult classic.
I think that one had like popularity after its run at the theaters.
I agree.
Chris, what do you got for your second one?
I believe this is my third one.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Start around three. I am taking famous newscaster and anchorman Ron Burgundy.
Wow, great one. I didn't even think of Anchorman. I honestly didn't even think of Anchorman. You could have done the whole starting five right off of Anchorman characters.
I guess I could have. Yeah,
nuts.
He's the only character from Anchorman I'm taking. I do have at least two other anchors on here in my honorable mentions, but he's the one who took it all because when it first came out, Anchorman was one of my all-time favorite movies, and I'm sure it still is. Like, it was just hilarious the first time I saw it, and it's got so many great actors in it that went on to continue to have incredible careers.
Yeah. Star-studded it for real.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell is 6'3". So,
He's my center.
I was gonna say you actually might have a basketball height player on the team.
Yeah,
he's 6'3". Wow, I mean, he seems like a big guy, but I feel like actors are never as big as you think they are.
Bill Murray, I thought Bill Murray was tall. He's 6'2", so he's not. I guess that's still pretty,
tall.
But I got a pretty good center too. I'm telling you, we got quite a battle so far. I mean, we got Steve Zissou facing off against Will Ferrell against Ron Burgundy.
I don't know how good Reese Witherspoon is at basketball, but
yeah. Well, Reese Witherspoon, she's slithery. Slitherspoon. She can get into the paint and stuff like that. But Chris, solid team so far. Amy, you want to recap who's he got?
Yeah, Chris has Peter Parker as point guard, Austin Powers as his small forward, and Ron Burgundy at the center.
It's a pretty solid fucking team.
Pretty solid.
Amy, what do you got?
All right, my number three pick is right in line with some of y'all's picks already. I selected Lois Lane, reporter for the Daily Planet.
Okay,
I like that.
Ours would be an interesting matchup
they'd have to play each other.
Exactly,
they have to play each other.
And just based on the rest of my lineup, I put her at center. She seems like she's kind of a tall woman. I don't know. But I think she seems kind of like she would hold it all together. And I don't know.
I like that. I always felt weird with that. She's a journalist, right? That's her job.
She's a reporter.
Her and Clark can't have the same job, basically.
Yeah.
Because I that's what I felt. I was like, I don't know, man. Reporters and journalists, you know, we've been picking them a lot. I guess there's a lot of stuff about, a lot of media is made about the news or whatever. So I felt weird because I was like, I'm going to feel weird not putting like a video editor in my team. But
I couldn't find
a single one.
I couldn't either. I thought there was one like you'd have to get a movie that's specifically about video editing, right? So like the only one I could think of was that movie Final Cut with Robin Williams, where
she's
editing people's lives into
that
their
movie.
But I got like 20 minutes into it. I was like, I don't want to finish this shit.
Yeah.
But so recap your three real quick.
Okay, so I have Roz Doyle, Bradley Jackson, and Lois Lane. And if you can't tell, I'm kind of going for a theme here.
Yeah.
So my choices
people
were
people who are bad
like
at basketball.
Even harder.
Wow.
Even harder for me to find because
women do not
dominate the industry.
I have a female player on my team. I'm trying wait because now is the weird part of the kind of draft where you're like, okay, we have to. I don't know who's got who at this point,
That's true.
And I don't know who's left. So I'm sort of like, okay,
that is true.
Do I take this person knowing that they might get taken?
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird for me. So
that might change how I do it too.
Well, I'm going to just go with my heart with this one. I need a point guard. I think this man would make a great point guard. He's a director. He's a writer. He's even an actor. He can do it all. He's a producer. He's a legend.
Wow.
And he mostly makes home movies.
Oh, God.
It's Brendan from Home Movies.
Wow.
I love it. There's a... Amy,
he was trained by Coach McGurk.
Coach McGurk taught him everything he knows. Fucking love that show. There is like this show that was on Adult Swim made by this guy, Brendan Small. And the character, I think, is based on him. Uh-huh. And the character's name is Brendan. And it's like this little kid who's, mm-hmm. I guess,
supposed to be middle school or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just making movies the whole time.
That's
and
so, a great pick.
I was like, I gotta go.
I didn't even think about him, but that's a good deep pull.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, so some of these I'm like, man, do I save it? Should I save it? Am I going too early? This segment, it really has all of the ups and downs of a real draft.
It does.
And now I know how people feel like when they're in the NBA draft, they're like, do we take this guy? Do we know what's happening? Mm. You know? But yeah, so I got Brenton at point guard. I think he's a really solid point. He's like a Muggsy Bogues type.
Solid pick.
I think his height is probably like 3 feet, so that's not great. But yeah, Brendan from Home Movies.
Okay.
On to round four of the draft. Chris, what do you got?
This one's tough because, I'm taking this person as really they were my sixth pick, but Steve's Zissou got taken. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a chance you could take this person.
So you're moving them up in the draft
order. I'm moving them up because I think the last person I don't think you're going to take.
Okay.
So I am taking Lydia Deetz as
Deetz nuts, bro.
Yeah. Lydia Deetz from Beetlejuice.
I wasn't going to take her. Okay. I saw her on the list, but I didn't take her.
Lydia Deetz, Beetlejuice is one of the movies I've seen most in my life. And I did recently see the play as well. And I just, she's a great character and she's different from everyone else who I have. You know, she
brings a different skill set to the table.
Exactly. So yeah. I guess she's going to be my shooting guard.
That sounds like a good spot. What do you have? You have Peter Parker at point guard already.
Yeah.
Point guard Peter.
Point guard Peter. Maybe I could shuffle them around. I mean, look, maybe we're playing positionless basketball on my team.
I like that. And, feel free to shuffle people around. Like if you, get to the next round and you go, you know what, actually, this person's going to slot in as a guard. And move the other ones over. Do what you got to do.
I need a power forward and I just don't think Lydia's it.
Lydia's not it. But Lydia would make a great backcourt player. So shooting guard, I think that's perfect for her. What's she do? Photography? That's her thing?
Yeah. She's just super into taking photos. That's all it is.
There you go.
And she was right up against another great character, but
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Ooh. I think it's interesting that we both kind of have in that like little run, we both picked two like amateur people, because Brendan Small. Yeah. Well, the real Brendan Small is actually a professional, but Brendan in the show is like a little amateur guy.
Of course.
So it's pretty cool.
Can't all be pros.
Amy?
All right.
Your fourth pick?
Fourth pick. So I'm struggling right now because I had my initial lineup. And then as we were sitting here before we started the segment, I thought of somebody that I hadn't thought of before. So I added them as a backup and now I'm like debating if I take them or not. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, this is it.
If there's a moment for honorable mentions.
Oh, we're going to do honorable mentions at the end for sure.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to stick with my gut. And again, probably somebody that y'all don't know. And I think they'd be great at basketball. So this is perfect.
Okay.
I'm choosing Che Diaz, who is a podcaster on the Sex and the City reboot and Just Like That.
Oh, God.
They are a non-binary character. I forget the actor that plays them.
Sarah Ramirez,
who I initially knew from Grey's Anatomy because, yes, I'm stupid and watched that show.
I can't believe that show's still running.
You just came for all the Grey's Anatomy fans.
I've literally watched it since the beginning.
Even people who watch Grey's Anatomy know that it's like devolved.
It's a soap opera, but whatever. That's how I initially knew this actor. Love the character. Love that they're a podcaster. I think that's a really cool, like, modern sort of, field that wasn't seen many years ago. And I think they'd be great as a point guard because,
They can run the show.
I see them running the show. Very powerful.
I really... see, it's funny. You were out here like, I don't know. I'm making some last minute changes, moving some stuff around.
I stuck to my gut.
And I actually am thinking about moving stuff around. So I'm in a very crazy precarious scenario here, and I'm not exactly sure what to do. I've only got two picks left, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, this is your fourth pick. You know, I think just go with your gut. That's why I ended up just going with what
Can we add having a sixth man? Like the sixth man is off the bench and yeah, they can, like a utility player.
I'm down for a sixth man.
Because if we can add
man.
A sixth man, then that solves
I'm
all
totally
my problems.
I'm totally down to add a sixth man.
Let's add a sixth man. Like
hopefully
that.
Nobody takes any of my next picks because then I'm going to be fucked. But.
All right. For my fourth pick at my shooting guard position, I'm putting April O'Neil from the Ninja Turtles.
Hey. Whoa.
Were you going to have her on the list? No.
It was between April O'Neil and Lydia Deetz.
Dude, I had a feeling you were going to have April O'Neil on your list.
I can't believe I didn't think of her because when I was a kid and I would play Ninja Turtles with my brother, I would always be April, obviously.
Yeah. The only reason I didn't take April is because my next pick is also a reporter. So
you didn't want to have a team stacked with reporters. But I also have Superman and I have April O'Neil.
That's a good get.
Yeah, but April O'Neil, I figured she's cool. She's always had that stylish ass yellow jumpsuit or whatever. She always wears yellow, in my opinion. Which is almost, it's like the second most stylish yellow jumpsuit in film history.
Yeah, and she hangs out with
Kill Bill.
Uma Thurman or whatever. Thurman. Is it Uma Thurman's?
Yeah. Uma Thurman, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like April O'Neil. You know, it's a solid pick.
She's a badass.
I think she'd be a good shooting guard, too.
Yeah. I think so, too.
She keeps good company as well.
Shoot or shoot, baby. Shoot or shoot.
Shoot or shoot.
And you know we're going to have at least four turtles at every game watching us, so the crowd will. round five.
Round five.
Here we go.
My final starting pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
My final starter is I learned just now that they are 6'2".
Ooh.
So they're going to slot in as the my power forward, I suppose.
All right. You got a lot of height in the front court.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's Phil Connors, who is the main protagonist of Groundhog Day.
Oh,
played by Bill Murray. He's a weatherman. He's a weather reporter or whatever.
Wow, that's wild. Pick. Bill Murray's going to be playing Bill Murray. You almost had Bill Murray twice.
I almost had Bill Murray twice.
Good thing you didn't because there's a bylaw that's a violation.
That's fair.
So your team would have been.
And my thoughts are, you know, he was living the same day for what, like 10,000 years, whatever it is. He learned all these different skills. He probably learned how to play basketball really well at some point. And when the same actor was in the movie Space Jam, I don't know what position he played in Space Jam, but you know,
I can't believe that character lasted this long in the draft.
I know.
Honestly, like an incredible pick, Chris.
Yeah. I'm floored, I'm shocked.
I mean,
that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Keep it together over here.
His whole goal in that movie is to wake up on my birthday. So that's why I love that movie.
Wow.
It's an amazing pick. It brings your entire starting five full circle.
I like it.
I really do like it. Yeah.
Good selection.
So, Amy, what's Chris's starting five?
All right, Chris got Peter Parker as point guard, Austin Powers at small forward, Ron Burgundy's at center, Lydia Deetz shooting guard, and Phil Connors as the power forward. I think that's an excellent starting lineup.
Pretty solid lineup. Really I feel good about it.
Yeah. Really good.
Trying to compete for a championship.
It's your
O'Brien, baby.
Yeah, it looks like you're well on your way.
Okay. My fifth and final pick of my starting lineup is Emerald Haywood, who is a filmmaker, aspiring actor, and horse wrangler from the 2022 film Nope.
Oh, that's right.
Played by Kiki Palmer, and I know she would be a badass basketball player. She's going to be my power forward.
That's a pretty solid pick.
Yeah.
Damn.
And she's got like fucking great style in that movie. Like every fit is just fire. Like I had to pick her. Like I'm so excited she's going to be on my team.
Amy, you got a pretty solid starting five going here too.
Thank you. It's a little, you know.
I feel like you have.
It's a little eccentric, but.
I feel like you have a speed built into your starting five.
Yeah.
And I think Chris's team is a good overall blend. I got power on my team.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I got the power of women behind my team.
Yeah, but
it's all
you got speed and quickness, the, you know, as well.
Yeah, no, it's
you
great.
Got Reese Slitherspoon on there.
Reese That's like Slitherspoon.
If I ever got a snake, I would name it Reese Slitherspoon. I've always said that.
I like that.
What are your starting five?
I got
again?
Roz Doyle at shooting guard, Bradley Jackson small forward, Lois Lane at center, Shea Diaz point guard, and Emerald Haywood power forward.
Damn, Lois Lane at center. You guys are playing small ball for real,
yeah,
which I love. You know, it's positionless.
I mean, I didn't realize we were going to be
Lois
choosing
Lane
positions
is
going
like
into this.
The Draymond Green of your team. Man, yeah. That's awesome.
Whacking people in the nuts.
Yeah, pretty much. All right.
Who you got, Alexi? Well, let's round out your starting five.
Round it out. Okay.
I'm excited.
I'm going to leave who I originally wanted here. I was going to shift Superman to the three and put this person as a power forward. But I'm going to wait and put this person as my sixth man because I don't think anyone's going to take them.
Okay.
I really don't think anyone's going to take them.
Okay.
So I'm going to go right now for my starting small forward.
Okay.
Is going to be from the play and movie The Producers, Leo Bloom.
Okay.
That's a good one. Is that Matthew Broderick?
It's Matthew Broderick's character, but I'm taking Leo Bloom, the character.
Got it.
So he's the accountant in that, and he wants to become a producer. And so Gene Wilder played him in the original musical or whatever. Yeah. So I'm taking Leo Bloom. I think that's going to be good. He's going to bring the smarts.
Yeah.
He also brings a savviness to my team that is much needed. Because you know, I'm trying to kind of accomplish, you know, a lot with my team,
yeah.
And I think that Leo Bloom is going to be that guy who brings everyone together and he kind of connects all the dots. High IQ player.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got
and,
it.
So yeah, small forward.
I like it.
Superman staying over there at power forward, but yeah, Leo Bloom. That's it. Chris, let's go for the sixth man, and then from there we'll all just do a little round of honorable mentions, I guess, right?
All right. I have a pool of six to choose from, so it's kind of difficult.
Shit.
But I think that I'm going for my backup center because look, Ron Burgundy is great, but he doesn't know how to play off script. He can, you know,
okay,
you know how it is.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah,
has
true.
To read the,
he's
the
reading,
prompter.
He's, yeah.
So
if the play breaks down, he's not gonna do anything for it.
So I'm taking another player who is you know molded in very similarly. I'm taking Kent Brockman, the anchor from The Simpsons.
That is awesome. That is a great pick. This ended up just being like newscasters from pop culture.
I mean, in my defense, I come from the news background.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh, I got an honorable mention that I'm gonna write down or forgot.
Okay. After my sixth man, I have one other option. So I got really lucky that none of my selections were taken. My sixth man is Nancy Gribble.
Oh, that's a good one. That's very, very good.
Weather Girl turned news anchor for Channel 84 News.
I mean, she almost got killed in a fire. But.
Yeah, she's got the brain. She's got the beauty. She's got the smarts. And she's got other things.
She's got it all going
She's got it all. I really think she could like slot in for a few different positions. I feel good about her being my sixth man.
And also just off the bench, she's going to be that like infusion of energy that you need, you know,
for
coming
sure.
off the bench. Boom.
Definitely great energy.
That's perfect for me, for my sixth man. The beauty of it is I have Superman starting, right? So like Superman can shift wherever is needed. So what'll happen is when someone gets tired, Superman is just going to shift to their position.
Yeah.
And this guy is going to come off the bench and fill that power forward slot.
Okay.
He's almost like a Dennis Rodman type. He's kind of unhinged and like,
all right,
but he's going to get boards and he's going to do his fucking thing. And he might cause a ruckus from time to time. Oh. It's President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Camacho from Idiocracy. I was trying to figure out the way to justify him being here, and he used to be a porn star. Okay. So that is why I justify being here.
That
You know who this character is?
I don't.
He's the president of the United States and a former pro wrestler and porn star.
Okay.
So it's an all-time great.
Great.
Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho.
Wow. I'm just gonna put Dwayne.
You can put Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho. Thank you.
Played All right, by.
Well, then I gotta Google his.
Played by Terry Crews. Terry Crews. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Who played? I think football in college.
He did.
For Western
yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. He was a football player.
So you know he's a great athlete. He's 6'2". He ran a 4.7 40-yard dash.
I'm telling you, I really do think. I got some strength on my team because Steve Zissou really is a big guy.
He played in the NFL for a little bit.
Did he? Yeah. I heard he was a professional football player, but I didn't know too much about
it. He was a fringe player, but hey, man, he made it.
So my starting five, I got Brendan from Home Movies at the point guard. I got April O'Neil from Ninja Turtles as my shooting guard.
Yeah.
Leopold Bloom from The Producers at the three. I got Clark Kent at the four. I got Steve Zissou at the five with President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho coming off the bench. And Superman shifting, because Superman is just that's goat shit. You know what I mean?
Of course,
so untouchable. You guys got any honorable mentions we want to throw out there? Just throw them out as you have.
I was lucky to get all mine in. So
I have a bunch.
Me too. Barton Fink. That's one that I was like, Barton damn, I kind of want to put Barton Fink on there.
I was only picking I was picking no men. So
yeah, no, I saw.
That's why I struggled.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a bigger problem with Hollywood.
So some of my honorable mentions include, you guys probably won't know this one, but Rafter Man from Full Metal Jacket. That it's a movie about the Vietnam War, and it's kind of told through the story of, he's like a... he writes for the paper, or like he takes photos for the paper. He's a war photographer, basically.
Okay.
I had a war one. I did in see mine that as well. I had Robin Williams from Good Morning Vietnam.
There's also a photographer in Apocalypse Now, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
if that's Vietnam. I don't remember.
I think it is. Yeah,
it probably is. I had Jake Gyllenhaal
from Nightcrawler. I wrote that one down just now. It's one I just thought of, but I've never seen Nightcrawler.
I've never seen it either. That's why he didn't make it into the lineup.
Chili Palmer from Get Shorty and from Be Cool. It's John Travolta's character.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's like a mobster who goes to L.A. to like, he has to do a hit or something like that.
Right.
And while he's in L.A., I don't really remember the plot of it, but it's something like he gets involved with movies, or like one of the people has to do the hit on is like a producer, and he like starts to see how much he wants to be a producer, and so he as a mobster tries to like make a movie basically.
That's kind of funny.
Such a good movie, dude. I recommend that. It's really, really good. And I felt like there was another like mobster tie-in with mobsters who wanted to make movies, but I couldn't remember what I was thinking of. So
I feel that sounds familiar.
I mean? It wasn't
was
Soprano.
That somebody
was
on
it
the Sopranos?
It might have been.
I think so.
It's Chris Moltisanti from Sopranos, because he wrote that fucking script.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, see, that would have been a good one, too.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
But he wouldn't probably be that good on the court.
No, he was like a heroin addict.
He would sit on your dog and kill it, which is hilarious. That was the funniest scene when he like just, because the dog was so dumb looking and the name was so silly, Quasette or whatever. And then the way that his girlfriend reacts to it.
I think it was Cosette.
Cosette, yeah.
It was the dog's name.
But the way that his girlfriend reacts to it, she's like a funny character. I don't know. That's a great show.
It was a good show.
You got any more?
I do. I have, I don't know his name, but the main protagonist from Memento. I haven't seen that movie since
he doesn't
college.
Even know his name until he looks down on his wrist.
That's true. Yeah, so like that's kind of how he remembers things, is by writing it down and by taking photos. So you know, it's a big part of the movie. I had the character main protagonist from Rear Window, the Alfred Hitchcock movie, where he's you know, like spying on his neighbors.
I found this list too. This is where I got some of mine.
Yeah. And finally I had Dawson from Dawson's Creek, because he's like a producer, director. He does a whole bunch of shit.
I had my last one I had here was Larry Sanders Show.
Okay.
I wanted to put him on there so bad, but I was just like, I don't have time to put it on there. And it also kind of makes me think now, like, Could I have put also? Yeah. Who's the guy? I feel so bad for not remembering his fucking name. Larry, the guy who plays Larry Sanders.
Oh,
I fucking forgot his name.
I'd have to like see his face.
He like just died like last year or something, or a couple of years ago. You know what I'm talking about, Chris?
I know who you're talking about.
Gary Shandling. But it made me think, like, if these are fictional characters, like SNL Weekend Update, right? Like, could I have taken Norm MacDonald's character from Weekend Update? Probably not.
I don't think you could, but you could have taken, what's his name? Does it start with a B?
Bill Hader?
Yeah, the character he plays.
Oh. Stefan.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do some respect for Norm MacDonald.
I did have two thoughts. I thought of Tommy Pickles because in like the grown up.
Oh, you're right.
In the grown up Rugrats he's like, he's like into film and stuff. Yeah. And then I thought of this other character who was it's from, I think, the sixth season of American Horror Story. The character's name is Sidney Aaron James, and they're the documentary filmmaker who were filming the documentary film My Roanoke Nightmare, which was the film inside of the season of American Horror Story.
You know, another one.
And they would have been a great...
Wild Thornberrys.
I thought you were gonna take that character because you mentioned it earlier. Yeah. So I thought that was already on your brain.
I should have.
Was there anyone from SpongeBob that was like a filmmaker or a movie person or anything?
There's the realistic fish thing.
Yeah, I thought you might have put that on your list too.
It was on my list, but because I brought it up, I was like, taking it out.
Wow, what a wonderful segment.
Yeah, this was actually a lot of fun.
Thanks for letting me. I just kind of like hopped in on the last minute, but this was really fun for me to like think of these characters.
Any last words on this before we move on to what we learned last week?
Any last words is, hey, if you're listening and you think we missed someone, give us a call. 332-333-4361. That is a Sizzle Reel cold line / hotline. Who knows?
Call in. Tell us who you think is the best fictional person who's media adjacent. I was thinking about Succession and I was like, I'm not going to name anyone from Succession because fuck all those people. Like, honestly. I'm done. I said this the other day. I'm done with shows about rich people. I'm not watching a single one of them ever again.
What's the Aaron Sorkin one? Newsroom or something like that?
Oh, Newsroom. Yeah.
That has Frasier in it, right?
I don't even know.
The guy who plays. I don't even know. What the fuck is his name? Whatever.
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. I think he's in that. I never watched it.
I feel like Ian looks like a young Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah?
I could see that.
Okay.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. That was a beautiful, beautiful segment. The draft segment always feels like it's a filler, and then it ends up being really fun. Huge fan.
Super fun.
Chris, you know what time it is.
Is it what we learned last week?
That's right. What we learned
last week. All right.
All right, so. Why don't you go ahead and kick us off, Chris?
All right. So last week, I learned that... I guess it's twofold. I learned that Piggly Wiggly was the very first self-service supermarket.
Okay.
And they opened in 1916 in Tennessee. And I basically also learned that self-service grocery stores, you know, just came around 100 years ago before. What you would typically do is like you wouldn't go to the supermarket and pick out everything yourself. You would have the people working there pick out things for you and bring them back to you.
Kind of come full circle then, right? With like grocery delivery.
It's so interesting. Funny. But yeah, so that's what I learned.
I prefer grocery delivery still to this day.
Picking out
I like delivery, but
I like delivery because it's convenient. Yes. But I, you know,
for produce, I like to pick it out.
I do too.
It's not delivery; it's DiGiorno. It's what I've heard.
Alexi keeps nothing in his fridge anyway, so of course,
except six beers that I drink one a month. That's true.
And Cholula.
Oh, I actually don't have any Cholula at home. Oh, believe it or not, Chris, that's really good. That's a perfect one. Sorry, I'm super distracted by what's going on my computer.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's my one I learned last week.
Oh.
You want to go?
I'll go. Yeah, I learned, and this is like slightly embarrassing that I never really knew what this term was or what, that there was a term for this thing. But I kept hearing this week as you're working on the documentary, verite shots. And so I finally looked it up. I understood what it meant, but I learned cinema verite.
Yeah.
And now I know the term for that style of shooting. And
yeah, that's it. It's about the truth. You shoot the truth, what happens, and you just show it.
Exactly. Sure.
That's it. It's all about the verite, which, to be fair, I got to say, I know that that was a lot of the feedback that was given on the doc, and we weren't at that stage yet when I showed it, right? All I had was all the bites. It was a radio cut. And the verite moments that's what I was working on today and yesterday and the day before. Like, that's kind of my thing.
I think that's like good feedback then, because that means like we're getting there. Like that was already a part of the, you know,
we're making
the
moves.
Bigger picture.
Joe Nana asked that I send him the doc, and he said he's going to tear it apart. And I was like, I don't know if I can handle that right now.
No, no. I don't think so.
I think I've already been torn apart enough right now. Yeah. I need to like build it back up before I can get torn up again.
Yep.
My what I learned last week is about a website called color.method.ac. It's a game for you to get good at kind of matching colors. So when you go to it, you kind of click on it and it starts with the hue of the color, and you have to get like five of them right before you move on. But you kind of move your cursor around a circle and you try to match a color that it assigns to you, and you have a certain amount of time to do it. And it's just a great game to kind of train your eye for like what kind of color is adjacent to what. It's a good design game.
Man, I just crushed really the like hue this. Portion. I got five perfects.
Wait, what do you, how do you do? I don't even
know. So this is what I was being distracted by while everyone was talking. I was like, oh shit. But it's a very, very fun game.
Oh.
It's good for learning about hue and saturation, complementary colors, analogous colors, triadic colors. It's good. It's good stuff. That's it. That's my what I learned. See, I shouldn't have done this because now everyone's distracted. Everyone's playing this game.
It is very cool. I'm a little slow on the uptake. Yeah. It took me a second to figure out what the fuck I was supposed to do. But
Chris, why don't you just describe what you're seeing?
I finally got a perfect. No, it's not poor. Can I pause you? Okay. So it is basically it gives you a color wheel, and there will be a color in the center. In the first category is hue. So you can just go around the circle. There's no saturation, darkness, brightness, whatever involved. You just pick the right color on the color wheel and match it up as good as you can. Then after that, it gives you saturation. And what that does is it expands the color wheel so that you're not just moving left and right. You can move up and down as well. So you have literally,
I got it perfect,
like hundreds of thousands of more colors to choose from. So that it gets a lot more difficult. And then right now I'm at complementary, so I haven't done that, but it's complementary colors. You have to pick the one on the opposite side of the color wheel.
This was kind of hard. I'm doing it right now and I'm like freaking out.
The ones after that, I don't know what they're going to be, but they're analogous, triadic, and tetradic. So I assume that just opens things up even more. But
it's a fun game. Go check it out. color.method.ac. If you have nothing to do,
oh, this is crazy. I don't even understand what I'm doing here.
Whoa. Yeah, it's a lot.
Oh, wait,
of,
the complimentary. How do you even select?
It's kind
of
tough, guys. It's kind of tough.
I don't understand complimentary yet.
All right. Where can people find us, Chris?
We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are Sizzle Reel Gang at gmail.com. We have the Sizzle Reel Cold Line. It is
332-333-4361.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, Chris, that's right. If you think you can beat Chris at color.method.ac, call in 332-333-4361 and you can leave a message.
Oh,
you can do whatever.
Did it.
Chris is fucking crushing it over there. And
I don't know how I did
Amy,
it.
Amy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
We'll have to have you on soon to talk about this big business deal. Amy's the one driving it across the finish line.
It's true. And I'm in, I'm not even in the back seat, but do you remember like station wagons would have the rear facing seat? Exactly. That's what I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Amy's driving. I'm sitting shotgun telling her how to drive.
Yeah. And, sounds about right.
And,
Chris is in the back playing video games.
100%.
And our maybe soon to be new business partner is on the phone, like telling us that we should have taken this turn three exits ago. Yeah.
We certainly
that's a great
don't
analogy.
Want that person driving.
All right. Thanks. See ya. Goodbye.
Later.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.